Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
And welcome to Adventures in History. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Eastside Hospital, here today with Mac Burns, the one and only.
We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Clatsop County.
But it's historical.
It is. Although we don't really want people like figuring out where we are, do we?
Maybe not. The door's locked, doesn't matter.
I'm always worried about pitchforks and torches.
Oh, jeez.
Maybe I watched too many Frankenstein movies as a kid or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Frankenstein, were you totally grossed out by the pickled pioneer?
I was totally.
And he loves it. He giggles so much. And he loves telling that story.
It was just a great story.
It kind of makes me laugh.
I do have to admit that the Instagram, and maybe it was on Facebook too, post with the child's picture of it was priceless, because I hadn't seen that for, I saw it after we recorded. And that was adorable. So go back and look at it if you haven't seen that. It's still on there.
On the Clatsop County Historical Society's Facebook page, but yes. And the Instagram. But it's funny, I've had a lot of people like, what was that picture? And I was like, you got to tune in.
I know.
Or afterwards, I said, okay, I could either tell you the 5-minute version, or it's much better listening to John Gutenberger tell it.
It's a great child's perspective of a story that's not really made for children, but John made it.
The part of the picture that bothered me, though, is there's air bubbles coming out of Willie. So it's like they're drowning him instead of
he's
been pickled.
That's true. I hadn't noticed that.
Yeah, I tuned into that. I was like, uh-oh. All right. Before we do the history highlights, shall we do some business?
Yes, let's.
Because this has, of course, been the year of COVID.
It has.
And everything has been canceled.
I know. Sad
and tear. And we need to, even though we have announced it, we need to announce it here as well, that the Clatsop County Historical Society, Ray Goforth, is rolling in her grave right now, because after 30-some years, the things she invented, tea and plum pudding, beloved by many, and a good fundraiser for us, we have canceled it this year.
Just this year. Yep.
And we thought about, okay, could we, you know, like restaurants are allowed X percentage. Could we do that? And then we thought, could we do it to go? And we even thought about make your own kits, so we could like send the ingredients and the recipe home, but it just didn't. None of that made sense.
Right.
It's meant to be enjoyed in the Flavel House by loving volunteers serving you, and you need to feel like you're visiting the Flavels.
Christmas music playing.
Exactly. Decorated the house and everything else. So that, just like Thursday night talks and old-fashioned fun and games and Mother's Day tea and scones talking tombstones and Dalmatian dog days, our entire calendar has been wiped out this year, and I'm still not sure what next year is going to look like. But the one thing we did draw the line on, Santa in the house, Sith, or old-fashioned Christmas. We have, for 15-some years, we've had Santa Claus greeting kids in the house, usually a Monday before Christmas, and it's packed. It's always packed. We have cookies and hot chocolate for the kids. Santa's there, and it's just an amazingly magical moment. And they're actually kids that have grown up with photographs of Santa, because we've always had the same Santa. In the real Santa, of course, in the house, in the same room.
Oh, I love that.
And, you know, the same chair, the same fireplace in the background. And they've like, here my child is at age 4. Here they are at 7, at 10, until they decide they don't want to come anymore.
Correct. Yes.
And we just couldn't do that because I mean, it's literally like 200 people over 2 hours.
Right.
There's no way to socially distance.
On Santa's lap.
On Santa's lap.
Right.
And we came up with a new phrase, Santa safe.
Okay.
So we want to be Santa safe.
Yes. Well, Santa does need to deliver a lot of presents.
That's
so.
Right. And he's in that danger zone.
That's true.
Because of his age and his weight and, you know.
Right.
And he's hanging around with all those elves, and I don't know if they're socially distancing in the factory or not. So we want to make sure Santa is safe.
We do.
So, but we didn't want to cancel the event because it's so important.
Yeah.
And especially this year, it's so important to so many kids. So we've already put a little video out on our Instagram and on our Facebook, but the gist of it is write a letter to Santa. The elves have made a cool little mailbox on the porch of the Flavel House.
It's adorable. Great photo opportunity right there.
It is.
It is.
Yeah,
I don't see this going away either.
No, this could be a thing.
Yes.
This might be a
thing. Because leading up to, right?
That's right. So if you drop your letter off to Santa, and we don't have to be there. You can come after hours and run up on the porch and drop it in there. It's locked, so nobody will steal it. It's only Santa and his elves have the
perfect
key. And if you get that to us before Saturday the 19th,
okay,
and then come back to us on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, because we're closed on the 24th.
Okay.
And come back, knock on the door of the Flavel house, and there will be a personalized stocking.
Oh, I love that.
There might be a letter from Santa. There might be a candy cane. There might be some candy and a little stocking you get to keep.
Wonderful.
And you know what it's
from? From Santa to that child.
To that child.
Wonderful.
So.
Okay.
And you know what makes this possible besides Santa magic?
Yes, I do.
Our wonderful sponsors.
Yes.
Do you know who they are?
Well, one is Providence Seaside Hospital, but we have another wonderful local couple.
Kent and LJ,
yes, and
have sponsored Santa since the beginning.
Yes. So, honorary elves.
So we always make sure that if they want to keep Santa, they can still keep Santa.
Well, this is huge. You know, I did tell my daughter about this because she knows she can't see Santa in person this year. Mm-hmm. But I also told her she had to narrow down her list of like 20 items at 5 years old. So she's working on that smaller list.
Wow, trying to narrow it down.
The most important things to her that Santa can actually come through on or follow through on.
Yes.
So maybe we will share some of, if Santa shares with us, because you have the inside scoop with Santa, we could share some of those maybe around Christmas.
Because it's a little known secret. Santa loves the Flavel house.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, you know what would be a great gift for folks too?
What?
We just bought one in our household. We bought a membership to the Clatsop County Historical Society, gift membership. And it just, you know, you pay, you put the person's address on there.
And we do the rest.
Yeah.
And it gets you in free.
I know.
To all three of our museums for a full year.
But it's a great, and they get cum tucks.
And once upon a time, we did special events for the membership, like exhibit openings and things.
Don't tell people what they're not getting, Mac.
Maybe someday we'll do those things again.
That will happen again. Great gift ideas.
It is. Thank
and
you.
Definitely, I did adore that little mailbox. So
it's pretty cool.
It is.
So the elves did a very nice job.
They did.
Okay, shall we get to the big history highlights?
Let's
I don't have a bunch of them for today.
We'll see if you got some good ones.
Sunday the 13th.
Got it.
That's a little scary. I know. Oh, wait, no, it's Friday we're supposed to be afraid
right.
of. Sunday the 13th we're okay with.
We're fine. It's a great day today.
1925. Dick Van Dyke is born.
That was on my list, too. I love that.
I like him.
We just saw Mary Poppins Returns, and he is the best part of the movie by far.
And are you going to sing anything?
Not at all.
Okay. 1928. I don't know if this should be in the history highlights or the infamous, the history lowlights. The clip-on tie is designed.
Oh, interesting.
1928.
Huh.
I don't know what to think of that, whether it's early or late.
Well, I don't know.
1937. Okay, that was much better than this, though. 1937, The Rape of Nanking. It's a very powerful book if you've never read it. But the Rape of Nanking, of course, is what the Japanese did in China when they invaded. And in particular, in that city, they were quite vicious and quite horrible. And there's a great book. It's, I mean, don't read it on a full stomach, called The Rape of Nanking. And it happened on this day, 1937, but it's a very disgusting, powerful exploit of the horror that mankind can bring
stays
upon.
With you.
Yeah. 2000, Al Gore concedes the presidential election.
Okay, on this date.
On this day,
December 13th.
Yep.
Interesting.
I'm done. I lost. All belongs to George W.
Well, we're setting new records all the time.
Yes, we are. 2003, Saddam Hussein is captured.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Yeah, I wonder
how that worked out for him.
Right.
Okay, but our history highlight of the day, the thing I think had the most impact, 1577. Catching off guard, aren't I? Because I don't
go
back.
You are.
1577, explorer Francis Drake sets sail from England.
Okay.
England's seaman Francis Drake sets out from Plymouth, England, with 5 ships and 164 men on a mission to raid Spanish holdings on the Pacific coast of the New World and explore the Pacific Ocean. 3 years later, Drake's return to Plymouth marked the first circumnavigation of the Earth by a British explorer.
Interesting.
Round the world.
Right.
And he actually came up here. He passed the Columbia River.
Huh.
He saw Washington Territory. What always stuns me, though, 5 ships and 164 guys. Doesn't that seem incredibly low to you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just used to cruise ships.
Right. Yeah.
Passengers, 3,000. Wow. Cruise, 2,000. Just 5 ships and 164 guys. And they're going to go around the world in 3 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Of course, only one ship makes it back.
Oh, well. There you go.
So history, the highlight, the thing I think had most impact, going around the world.
Yeah,
it's not flat. It's round.
I think you got the right one. You did miss a couple. Uh-oh. The one that I liked was 1973. Great Britain cuts the work week to 3 days. But get this. They cut it to 3 days to save energy.
Interesting.
And I was wondering, is it the person's energy or is it like energy?
It's got to be energy.
Because 3 days sounds fabulous, doesn't it?
See, though, like
73.
Oil rig people or firefighters, when you hear about that,
right.
Some of them work 24 hours a day because they're always on call. So they're sleeping at the firehouse, that kind of
right.
thing. Part of me actually kind of thinks that might not be a bad thing. Like a full week on, then you get 2 weeks off or something.
Yes. Get it done.
So 3 longer days.
Yeah.
Like working 15-hour days for 3 days and then call it good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could get down with that.
I could. I do that, except I'm a mom. So, you know, there's...
So you're already working 40 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly. 1972, astronaut Gene Cernan climbs into his lunar lander on the moon and prepares to lift off. He is the last man to set foot on the moon.
See, it's sad that we 72. Don't know that.
Yeah.
That's not like the tip of our tongues.
Right.
Because what is it? 12 guys? 14 guys?
Yeah.
Whoever... I mean, that's it. It's also... I feel badly because I do love the space stuff that mm-hmm. Most of us don't remember it's Yuri Gagarin that was first in space.
Oh, no.
You know, we remember Neil Armstrong.
Of course.
And we really should remember Yuri as well, because, I mean, come on, first guy up, he doesn't know what's going to happen. Oh,
he needed a better publicist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then also 1818, Mary Todd Ooh. Lincoln was born.
Oh.
Very important.
She's tragic.
Yeah.
I feel badly for her.
Well, yes.
So.
Women had a tough life back then.
I will freely admit... Women much, much tougher time than mm-hmm. men frequently throughout history.
Yes. And then less documented too, because there's still lots of stories. We just don't know them all.
Well, that's the problem that history has been trying to erase since the 1960s or so, the great white man of history.
Yes.
And nobody else mattered. But we know
that
everybody mattered.
We're getting around to it.
And speaking of everybody mattered, mm-hmm. that's a great segue.
Yes.
We alluded to it, I think, on our first show, because the first time you and I worked together was the Gutter Party celebration.
Yep. Was that? No, Bicentennial.
Did we work together in the Astoria Bicentennial? I guess we did. Yeah. But not as partners.
That's true. It wasn't just us, thankfully.
Yes. So we promised that we would talk a little bit about the Gutter Party, mm-hmm. and this seemed like a good time because it's a great story.
It's great. And we have great photos to share of this one, too. So we'll get those up.
I might put some on Facebook to go with this. So let's just kind of back down that. I would say that first, Clatsop County and Astoria and this part of the Lower Columbia region, we have been at the crossroads of history surprisingly a huge amount of times, and not just because of the Goonies.
Right.
And the Gutter Party is one of those little known stories that was an international thing, mm-hmm. and it happened right here.
Great impact.
We are ground zero. So on May 30th, 1913, the Astoria Budget printed a notice, and I'm going to mispronounce a lot of these names because they're hard and I'm stupid, printed a notice from Munshi Ram, Secretary of the Hindu Association, Astoria, Oregon. It was an invitation to hear Har Dial, a Stanford professor and noted philosopher and revolutionist in India, deliver a special lecture on India for the American residents of Astoria at the local Finnish Socialist Hall. Dial's 1913 speech in Astoria was the keynote at the founding of the Revolutionary Nationalist Gutter Party, an uncompromising and radical new direction in Indian nationalist politics.
Created by the Asian Indians, or Hindus as they were referred to at the time, of the U.S. West Coast, Gutter's aim was nothing less than the armed overthrow of British rule in India, right here in Astoria.
I know.
An overthrow of a government.
It started here.
The group included intellectuals such as Dial, as well as students, but its ranks were the laboring Punjabi men who worked the region's mills and farms, men from the length of the Columbia River and beyond the hall that May in Astoria. Within a year of the meeting, hundreds of Punjabis, overwhelmingly laborers from the West Coast, led by Sohan Singh Banka, from Portland returned to India with the hope of sparking an insurrection against British rule. Most were promptly captured, detained, tried, or executed. Gutterites were the target of conspiracy trials in Lahore, India, and San Francisco, the latter at the time the most costly trial in U.S. history. These setbacks aside, Gutter's secular politics united an unprecedented combination of social castes and religious backgrounds and made an undeniable mark on the Indian imagination and politics. For that, Indians view Gutter as an opening salvo into the Indian nationalist endeavor. Gutter Party memorials exist in Jandahar, Punjab, and San Francisco, and right here in Astoria, Oregon, right under the bridge.
Because of our celebration back in 2013.
Yes.
That was part of the celebration, was putting a new marker.
It was like the capstone of the whole weekend.
It kind of was. That was the highlight. Yeah.
Sure.
So the populations of Asian Indians who came to North America were small, especially as compared to Chinese or Japanese migrations, and temporarily compressed, beginning roughly in 1905 and ending in 1914. What a small time period.
Yeah.
Some 30 million left India between 1830 and 1930 by choice, economic imperative, or force. Indian men left home to work as merchants, policemen, soldiers, plantation workers, or laborers, largely in other crown colonies in Asia, South Africa, and Australia. Of course, because they're part of the British Empire.
Of course, yeah.
In the years around 1906, several elements came together to push Indian migration toward North America. First was the growing anti-colonial unrest in Bengal, and it spread to the Punjab, which deepened in 1907 with an outbreak of the plague and the resulting deaths of over a million people. Second was the development of colonial exclusionary policies against Asian Indians in Australia and South Africa, persuading some to seek new opportunities in the booming economies of Western North America. At the same time, trying to quell political unrest, the British political regime began to deport activists and radicals. Send them somewhere else. You're right. Not our problem. Somewhere between 15,000 and 30,000 ended up initially on the American East Coast.
But along the Columbia River, some 8,000 arrived during a 10-year period. In some places, they were accepted as the hard-working laborers they were. Of course, starting in the mid-1880s, there was strong anti-immigrant fever. The Chinese Exclusion Acts were the most notorious, but cities and state governments introduced a multitude of restrictions on people who were different. Many of the Indians were Sikhs, easily identified by their turbans. Like other immigrants, they quickly became the target in many locations. The most notorious incident took place in Bellingham, Washington. Bellingham was a booming mill town. By 1906, Punjabis who had left Vancouver's increasingly hostile atmosphere had found work ready to go in nearby Bellingham. In September 1907, however, job insecurity in Bellingham combined with anti-immigrant hatred. Several hundred white workers and some city leaders mobbed and beat as many of the roughly 200 Asian Indians in town and ransacked their living quarters. Support for and approval of the riots spread throughout the West, and many communities saw similar eruptions of violence. Oregon seemed a little more tolerant than our neighbors to the north and south, and many Punjabis fleeing the violence ended up working in mills right here along the Columbia River. Labor was always short in the mills. Men were always needed, especially men who worked hard and didn't cause trouble. I like that line.
I do that. I like that too. And you know, that's actually a thing about the mills here, because we've published a couple of books on Westport and mill towns of Clatsop County, like Wana. They really put a thing on men who are not going to unionize or quote cause trouble. And a lot of times, especially the communities that are just mill towns like Westport, they're looking for families.
Oh,
because family men aren't going to necessarily go to the saloon and get drunk and cause trouble.
They have less time too, right?
Yeah.
The largest community of Punjabis grew right here in Astoria. But there were others in the Dalles, Hood River, Bridal Veil, Portland, St. John's, Linton, Goble, Clatskanie, Rainier, John Day, and Seaside.
So why Astoria? From the beginning, the city was markedly international. And by 1910, near the height of the Punjabi community here, nearly half of Astoria's 9,600 residents were foreign-born, including large communities of Chinese and Finns. You know, I've forgotten the stat. I should have written it down, but I was a part of a Chinese panel discussion a couple of years ago, and I made the half-hearted joke, but there was some seriousness, that at some point, Chinese were a third of Astoria's population, and Scandinavians were like 20%. And I said, why do we consider ourselves a Scandinavian town that had a Chinese population? Why are we not a Chinese town that had a Scandinavian population?
I think you alluded to that earlier in our show.
Yeah, so there's a huge, I mean, just they're all foreign born.
Yeah.
So those groups shaped the town, some giving it strong currents of radical nationalism. The Indian population at its peak was only about 100 people. Most worked at the Hammond Lumber Mill, located at what is today Alderbrook, not in Hammond.
Right.
It was named one. Hammond because it was owned by A.B. Hammond. So again, the Hammond Lumber Mill is actually Alderbrook. He employed some 600 people of different nationalities, Italians, Greeks, Japanese, and Middle Eastern. Initially, Hammond traveled to India to recruit laborers, but this need was short-lived when Punjabi migrants started arriving on their own. Doesn't that just seem odd? I mean, to picture in this time period, like 1910, that this guy's leaving from little old Clatsop County and going all the way to India going, I got a job.
And talk about different cultures and different just environment, right?
And why there? I mean, okay, I had 10 guys that were really good workers, but then I'm going to not even buy a plane ticket. I'm going to buy a boat and a trip and go to India to recruit more.
Wow. They were overwhelmingly single men ranging in age from 19 to 50. There was, however, at least one family. The Punjabi community was mostly Sikh, but there were also Hindus and Muslims. During their years in Astoria, the Punjabis were involved in wage strikes, taught wrestling, and fielded competitive wrestlers such as Dodam Singh and Basanta Singh, opened bank accounts, sued one another in court, got arrested for drinking and fighting, filed for citizenship, celebrated a cross-cultural wedding, played with a few Punjabi children in town, cared for one another, buried for one another, talked and otherwise entertained themselves when they were not working. There were bad times as well. Sometimes the children were taunted. The newspaper sometimes encouraged this mistreatment, but overall, a stable and diverse community succeeded in Astoria.
In 1914, Punjabis undertook a major exodus. The newspaper reported, for the purpose of joining in the revolution that is expected to ensue, while England is involved in the war with Germany. This was a sign of Gutter's influence. But it was the Hammond Mill fire in 1922 that finally ended their tenure. Because a lot of people are like, well, okay, then why aren't this population still here? But basically, the mill was burned down, and they all went elsewhere to get another job.
Sure.
What's amazing, the Scudder Party still exists. It's a political party still over there in India. And during the celebration, didn't we see stamps and things?
We did, yeah. Isn't it like the very northeastern part of India?
I guess northwest.
Northwest, okay.
Yeah, I think.
And it's a small region. India's huge. But this region in particular was somewhat smaller.
Yeah. At the thing is, though, this party, I mean, we said it, but basically they were inspired by the American Revolution, that we had overthrown the British yoke. And we can, too. And they went back. And, of course, because the numbers weren't there, as you said, that they were all either arrested, slaughtered, or expelled.
Yeah.
But this party inspired Gandhi. I mean, he didn't want to do the violent thing, but he was like, gosh, maybe we could become an independent country, an independent nation. Mm-hmm. And what maybe we didn't make clear enough, that spark started here in Astoria. They had a meeting where they riled up a whole group of people saying, we should do this. We should go back there. And there were more speeches. In fact, there's one about a month after this that happened in San Francisco. And people used to think that that's where this party started, this whole idea. And then a historian, I think she was working on her master's degree, wrote an article and published it in the Oregon Quarterly, the Oregon Historical Society Quarterly. We actually sell copies here at the Heritage Museum. Where she said, no, you know, here's this meeting and here's what they talked about and here's what they decided.
And it was that letter with the stamp from here to San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
That sealed the deal.
Yeah.
And we met her. She came.
Yeah.
Talked to her.
So it's this amazing thing. And there's a plaque that's pretty cool. It's in Memorial Park under the bridge in Astoria. And it looks right on the location of where this meeting took place.
Right. It's nice. It's a nice area, nice view. Yeah. We had a good time. Why don't we? We had great food, good wine. There was dancing, movies.
I don't know. We need to have that celebration again. They had one like redo that like five years later. But they talked about making it an annual thing.
Yeah.
Well, they should.
Post-COVID. Let's get on it.
Post-COVID. Shall we take a little break?
That sounds good.
We'll be right back.
December 6th, 1900. Nightly at the Louvre, now there is a large audience to witness Zarroni, the famous Japanese juggler, and listen to the music. Manager Weisenstein believes in constant change in the performance, and by so doing, there is something both to see and hear nearly every evening.
December 28th, 1885. Never was such a rush made for any drugstore as is now at E.E. Dimond and Company's for a trial bottle of Dr. King's new discovery for consumption, colds, and coughs. All persons affected with asthma, bronchitis, hoarseness, severe coughs, or any affection of the throat and lungs can get a trial bottle of this great remedy by calling it above drugstore. Regular size, $1.
And welcome back to Adventures in History. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Seaside Hospital, here today with Mac Burns, director of the Clatsop County Historical Society.
Okay, so we've only got a few more minutes, and we can do some this day in local history. But first, we should remind everybody, if you've got little ones,
yes,
write your letter to Santa.
Go to the Fluffville House. There's a very adorable little mailbox made by elves, and they can mail their letter. And when they mail their letter, what's going to happen?
Then they come back after the 19th, on the 19th or afterwards, and knock on the front door of the Fluffville House, and Santa's elves and Santa will have left a personalized stocking. And it's free because of our friends at
Providence Seaside Hospital.
Although I should say that since you work there.
That's okay. We support all COVID-safe Santa activities. So
and we framed this new phrase, Santa safe.
Santa safe.
We don't know if it means that Santa should stay safe or whether that's like a new way for people to stay Santa safe.
Both.
But we like it, Santa safe. And it's also sponsored by our friends Kent and LJ, so thank you, Kent and LJ. So we've only got a quick minute here, but December 14th, 1894, a report finally comes from the Tillamook Lighthouse about the storm that recently knocked out power. For hours, the brave watchmen on lonely Tillamook Rock listened to the awful howling of the wind and waters, trembling each moment for fear that the high tower would tumble over into the sea and carry everything with it. Waves rose all around them like great mountains, and although the top of the rock is fully 88 feet above extreme high tide, monster seas broke over all over it. At one time, when the hurricane was at its worst, amidst the most awful roaring of angry waters, a great wall of water struck the side of the rock with such force that it trembled as if from a violent shock of earthquake. As the mountain of water struck the great rock, it shot upwards. How high the keepers inside the lighthouse were unable to say, but all was darkness for a moment. An awful crash of breaking glass sounded above, followed instantly by a terrible noise as if the ocean had gone skyward and come down directly on the roof of the lighthouse. 1894, a place I would not want to be at that moment.
I love the use of adjectives.
Nobody writes like that anymore.
Nobody writes like that anymore. It has been a great adventure today with you, our best show yet.
Yes,
many
indeed.
More to come. I mean,
maybe they'll let us keep doing this.
Of course. Well, yes. I think that we'll still keep talking and still have adventures in history.
Probably. And we've got a guest next week.
We do.
But we'll keep it a secret.
We do. But he has some Scandinavian influence in history.
Indeed.
Lots of stories to tell. Lots of history himself and his family as well. So that should be very interesting.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Go make some history this week. Have a great week. And we will catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.